Good morning. Good morning. I am so glad to be here. My name is Will Tiller, and as of, I guess, 10 minutes ago, I am one of the pastors here at St. Andrew Methodist Church. So thank you very much. I truly cannot put into words how exciting and blessed I am to be here. My story began at St. Andrew with my parents. My aunt and uncle were part of the founding membership here back in the 90s. I was born into this church and baptized on this stage. My parents were married in this sanctuary, and it is just a beautiful place to be and to get to partner in worship. We moved away to Atlanta, Georgia in 2008, which is probably why I don't look very familiar to most of you, but in a series of what I can only explain as God-ordained events, I ended up back here in Dallas, Texas. I'm going to school, finishing up my master's in divinity at SMU right now, and now I get to partner with St. Andrew and do something really special for college and young adults. So, thank you. Thank you very much. If it's also your first Sunday here, apparently we've been in a sermon series on Exodus, which is where we're going to be today, Exodus 12 specifically. And once we get to Exodus 12, Egypt has been ransacked by 9 straight plagues. And God, through Moses, warns Pharaoh that there's going to be one more. This last plague will be the most intense and horrifying one yet. We're past the frogs and the bugs and the sickness and the hail and the darkness, and somehow Pharaoh is still holding on to the Israelites, which I don't know how, because I would have been off. If I came back to my apartment and there were frogs everywhere, I'm letting the Israelites go. But Pharaoh's still holding on. So in a final move that shows the lengths in which God is willing to go to free his people, he sends another plague. Moses tells Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. To prepare and protect his people from this plague, God gives Moses instructions for sacrifice." And to really understand this, we have to first understand how ingrained in the Jewish experience sacrifices were. The logic of Jewish sacrifices was really quite simple. We take some aspect of God's good creation, something that he's given us, and we give it back to him. This isn't because God needs anything from us. He made everything. God gave us everything in the first place. But we need it, because we get to symbolically take these things and give them back to God to show our gratitude. So part of the sacrificial mentality for ancient Israel and for us today is that we simply get to offer something back to God in return for all that he's done for us. But we also live in a fallen and sinful world, and so we offer up sacrifices of atonement. Scholars say that the psychology of this is that when an animal sacrifice is offered up, that what's happening to the animal is what should be happening to me. But the sacrifice takes our place. The latter of these is what God offers to Israel. God's plan is to bring forth a plague that will take away all of the firstborns of Egypt. And for God's people to be spared and eventually freed, thank you, a sacrifice needs themselves. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. Moreover, they should take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. And you shall eat it in a hurry, because this is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and fatally strike down all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the human firstborn to the animals. And against all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord.
The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will come upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Easy, light reading for this Sunday morning. For us today, this situation very well might seem gruesome or even barbaric, and I get that. It's a hard text, but we have to let ourselves be in the context of the ancient Near East, where war and slavery and animal sacrifice are just part of their normal culture. And yet, God is able to use that culture and that context to bring forth something great. For us today, we generally probably aren't going to be asked to do an animal sacrifice. But I think God is very likely going to ask us to sacrifice our time or our gifts, maybe even our money, and in some sense, ourselves, so that just as he worked through the Passover sacrifice, he can work through you. As the Israelite story goes, the plague happens, the Israelites are spared, and Pharaoh finally throws in the towel and lets God's people go. Those who just yesterday were in chains now walk in freedom through the power of God and the sacrifice of the unblemished lamb. I don't think the way in which God chooses to free his people here is any accident. All the way back in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham has a son named Isaac, who is quite literally the future of Israel, the future of God's people. And he's spared from death when God gives them a ram to take Isaac's place. A sacrifice that spares Abraham's son and allows God's people to continue walking with him. Here in our reading today in Exodus, the lamb takes on the role of sacrifice, sparing the sons of Israel once again so that they can continue walking in God's promise, now as a freed people. And eventually, the time comes to fulfill his promise, and so God offers himself. He comes to us on earth as us, as a man named Jesus. And Jesus gives himself as the final atoning sacrifice that covers all. On the Passover feast, he is the final unblemished lamb. We see this in Matthew 26, where Jesus gives this opportunity for us to sacrifice with him. Right before he gives himself over, he's sharing a meal with the disciples. Now, this isn't just some ordinary meal. He's not having Thursday night burgers and football with the boys at John's house. No, he's celebrating the Passover. For Jews, the Passover was not just about sacrifice. It was also about celebration. God asks for their sacrifice in Exodus and then immediately after tells them that this is a day that should be remembered for feasting and celebrating. Why? I think it's because from the beginning, God wants to share his life with his people. He wants his people to be freed, and he also wants his people to be fed. In the Passover meal, Jesus prepares to do just that. Matthew 26 shows us that the disciples did just as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." He's foreshadowing the cross, because it's through the cross that Christ frees his people, and now it's through this feast that we call communion that Jesus feeds his people. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that Christ is actually giving us something in communion. It's easy to take communion for granted or to just go through the motions or look at it as some passive remembrance of something that happened 2,000 years ago, but let me tell you, that is just not it. It's an invitation to participate. Communion not only looks back to the cross, it looks to the future. It frames Christ's sacrifice as something that is active and life-changing, something that we get to participate in with God as he continues to redeem the world. Communion is not passive because the cross was not passive and because our faith is not passive. So how do we respond? Well, I think Paul hits it right on the head in Romans 12 when he tells us, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." How do we respond? By offering ourselves. Offering to sit and listen. To be with a friend in need. Offering a meal to someone on the street. Maybe even something as simple as carving out 30 minutes a day to sit and pray and read your Bible. These are all ways that we can offer ourselves as a sacrifice through service and worship. And sacrifice is for sure the hardest part of the Christian life. But I think it's necessary. Throughout the story of Israel, God chooses to engage his people through sacrifice. Jesus tells us that if we don't pick up our cross and follow him, that we can't find our life, that unless we lay down our life, that we cannot find it in him. And the beauty of the Christian life is this, that God is going to call us to discomfort. He's going to push us to go and make more room for him. He's going to push us to let go of things that we're holding too tightly onto so that he can give us something new. Let me frame it this way. Because I think a lot of times we hear sacrifice and we might wince a little bit. We don't like sacrifice. We're Americans. We live here in Plano, Texas. We like our comfort, rightfully so. It's human nature. And so a lot of us might look at sacrifice like it's unfair or that God is taking something unrightly away from us. So let me frame it in a different light. Right now, I'm a runner. I used to be a golfer. I got to play golf in college, and I soon realized that when nobody's paying for green fees, that golf gets really expensive. So I decided to run instead, which is crazy. But I woke up on January 1st of this year, and I said, you know what? I'm going to run a marathon this year, which is equally as crazy. So right now, I'm training for a marathon. And I could stay up all night, I could eat Chick-fil-A 3 times a day and run every now and then, maybe once a week, and that would lead to something, but it's not going to lead me to being a very good marathoner. Instead, I have to sacrifice. I have to give things up and give myself to the training, to making sure that I get enough sleep, that I eat relatively clean and run 6 or 7 days a week. And none of that is comfortable. But it leads me towards my end goal. It makes me a better marathoner. I have to sacrifice to the worldly comfort so that I can gain endurance. And some of you might look at that and say, all right, he lives a pretty lame and boring life. And maybe you'd be right. But the way that I look at it is that this is one of the most exciting and fulfilling things that I can do. Because I'm sacrificing, yes, but I'm sacrificing for a goal that's bigger than myself. Our Christian life is the same thing. This is the life that we're invited to with Christ, a life of collective sacrifice. And notice that sacrifice is always for the sake of something else. You don't sacrifice just for yourself. You sacrifice for something that's bigger than you. We sacrifice not only because it's good for us, though it is, but because it's good for everything and everyone around us. Paul says we ought to do this so that we're not conformed to this world, but instead go into it and transform it. The Passover sacrifice, it leads to Israel's freedom so that they can be a holy nation, set apart, a kingdom outpost for the rest of the world. And the sacrifice of Christ brings forth salvation for all of us. So that now there is no captive or free, there is no Jew or Gentile, there is only the people of God, freed through Christ and fed through his sustaining love and grace. That's what we see in the Passover. That's what we see on the cross, and that's what we get to participate in communion. So as we share in communion today, and as we leave this place and go into our busy and hectic and stressful, crazy lives, remember the sacrifice of Christ and ask yourself how you might join in on it as God continues to redeem the world around us. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for this beautiful Sunday. Thank you for just an opportunity to come and worship and talk about you and sing about you and to share in your sacrifice through communion. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray that we might be kingdom outposts for you as we go into the world. So Jesus, pour out your grace on us. Sustain us. And give us the endurance to do your will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.